It's here and now, and it sounds like something out of a spy novel, but it is real. An investigation out today from the Associated Press details how the U.S. government created a Twitter-like company in Cuba with the goal of undermining the Cuban government by giving Cubans the tools to organize and communicate. The company, which was called Zunzuneo, was created in 2009 by the U.S. Agency for International Development, also known as USAID, ended up being used by 40,000 people before it was shut down in 2012. Jack Gillum took part in the AP investigation. He's with us from Washington. Jack, welcome.
Hi, good to be here.
We'll start by telling us what this company, Zunzuneo, was and how people used it.
Sure. So the Cuban government has this stranglehold over the internet and really restricts access to information. And the idea through this government program was to set up a couple of companies that is overseas that wouldn't have ties back to Washington that would give Cuban citizens this primitive version of Twitter that is through text messaging rather than over the internet. And the idea was is to get people talking to each other that it could at one point create this sort of democratic fervor and, you know, possibly up in the government and instill this democratic change.
And how did it work? Because text messages in Cuba cost money to send. That's one of the reasons why this was able to really get going is because this was free for them to use, right?
Yeah, so we take text messaging for granted, and particularly when people use iPhones, the iMessage, you know, if you have a data plan, it's free.
Right.
And text messaging is very expensive for Cubans who comparatively earn less than we do in comparison to how much we would pay for a cell phone. So this project was additionally subsidized so it could bring the cost down, and this front company that had, you know, no connection with the U.S. government from its outset was able to drive that price down and essentially make it free for people who are using the service. So it was obviously very, very popular just from a cost perspective alone.
And eventually there were 40,000 people in Cuba using this.
Yes, at its peak, it had 40,000 people talking, and mostly based on some of the messages that we saw about the ordinary things that you and I would talk about, you know gossip, work stuff, mostly football and sports. So that was the idea, is to get people talking to each other.
So what was the U.S. government hoping would happen because of this?
So the idea was is to bring Cuba out of this sort of stalemate, as they called it, to push it toward democratic change. And the idea was is if you created a legitimate looking program that had, you know, actual buy-in from the people using it, that one day that could be used to create, for example, they say in these documents, smart mobs, you know, where you can organize demonstrations at a moment's notice. And the whole point of making this secret was to keep it credible not only to the people who used it, but also to the Cuban government, who, if they found out this was sponsored by Uncle Sam, would certainly, you know, put the lid on it very quickly.
And the U.S. went to pretty elaborate lengths to avoid having the company in any way associated with the U.S. government. Tell us what they did.
To set this up, they created a grant, or they awarded a grant to this organization called Creative Associates, which has done hundreds of millions of dollars in contracting work with the U.S. government. And Creative Associates reached out to a couple of subcontractors, and the idea was to pull these people in, but to set up companies overseas so there wouldn't be this obvious connection back to the government. Hmm. They set up a front company in Spain called Zunzuneo. They set up a company in the Cayman Islands called Movil Chat, which is also the place, you know, the Cayman Islands being a sort of, you know, famous British tax offshore tax haven. That's where the bank transactions were routed through. And interestingly enough, even the CEOs whom these project organizers interviewed and would eventually hire to run the project were neither told what they were doing, that is, you know, the ultimate goal of this project, nor that it was backed by Washington.
Well, who in Washington knew that it was going on?
So there were some officials at USAID who helped set this up, and it appears based on the documents and interviews that there was at least one State Department official involved in these early meetings about how to get this sort of, you know, Proyecto ZZ, as they call it, Project ZZ, which later became Zunzuneo, and really how to send out these text messages and do it in such a way that would avoid detection by the Cuban government.
Do we know if anybody in the White House knew?
That's unclear at this point. We do know that people at the State Department, USAID, did know.
And you write that the creation of this Zunzuneo, this Cuban Twitter, cost about $1.6 million and that the money was actually appropriated for a project in Pakistan, which raises big questions about the legality of all of this.
Sure. Well, and when it came to unspool these documents and interviews, you know, we took the contract numbers, and you know, any contract has a very, very unique number in this sort of federal procurement system. And when we took that number and plugged it into publicly available databases, which is what any taxpaying citizen can use to see how their money is spent, that's the point under this administration, which is, you know, promised to be, you know, the most transparent in history. You plug this number in, and it looks like it goes toward work in Pakistan for an apparent unrelated project.
What caused Zunzuneo to fail?
So there's a couple of explanations that we received in the course of our reporting. One was that the money spigot simply turned off. You know, we asked USAID for an answer. They said that it ended in late 2012, around September of 2012, because the grant that funded it simply ended. Another explanation, and this is talking to some people who were involved more in the technical work of the project, is that it appeared as if that the Cuban government started catching on and started a DNS redirection where when you go to Zunzuneo.com, DNS, which is like the phone book of the internet, tells you actually go to this website instead, or even just blocking the service outright. One engineer telling us that actually it became really hard to do my job because they, you know, created such a technical nightmare for us. So I think it could have been, you know, a little of A, a little of B.
Well, has there been reaction today after this article has come out from the Cuban government, for example, or from people in Washington?
So the Cuban government has declined to comment for the story, and USAID defends the work that they do in Cuba. And this is consistent with State Department policy of, you know, particularly then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, who has encouraged the use of social media to you know, bring about sort of, you know, democratic change, and even highlighted the role that social media has or had in the Arab Spring revolutions in recent years.
So if USAID, which is not supposed to be doing stuff like this, has been doing stuff like this, what kind of problems does that cause for its missions elsewhere in the world?
Well, when we spoke to Senator Patrick Leahy, who chairs this sort of oversight of these appropriations, I mean, there is a couple of concerns that he brought up. One of them is, you know, they appeared to be kept in the dark about this because they weren't informed that this was going on. The other one is that this project was launched shortly after the arrest of Alan Gross, who also happened to be a USAID contractor working down in Cuba on a different technical project. USAID also, too, their prime mission is to help the world's poor and
right.
bring humanitarian efforts. And the folks that we talked to said that this could raise questions about how they can continue doing this kind of work when they need, you know, the trust and cooperation of foreign governments.
Jack Gillum is one of the reporters who took part in this AP investigation today. Fascinating story about a Cuban Twitter that was created by the USAID agency. Jack, thanks so much for your reporting and for joining us.
Thank you.